Well, we have an excellent starting point with Elijah the prophet this morning, who complains bitterly to God about his situation, and he prays for death. I might as well be dead. I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. And he lays down in that, and he tries to die. He asks for it. And what's he get but an angel with some sustenance? Wake up. Wake up. And once wasn't enough. He filled his belly, and he went back to sleep. And again, the angel comes. Wake up, or you won't be strong enough. And in the story, you know, he's able to walk for 40 days and 40 nights to the encounter with God, really a turning point in his life at Mount Horeb. 40 days and 40 nights is a way in the Bible of saying a long haul, a long time. But anybody who's lived life for any amount of time knows it's longer than 40 days. Some things take much longer than 40 days to work out. And that part of us that would like to lay down and die, we'd like to honor this morning. We'd like to honor her. We'd like to honor him. And we have this nice old-time song that tries to keep us moving when we want to lay down and hide from life. It goes like this. You know this song. It goes, ain't no hiding place down here. You know that song? Ain't no hiding place down here. Oh, I went to the rock to hide my faith. Rock cried out, no hiding place, no hiding place down here. This is your part. Down here, down here. Ain't no hiding place down here. Where'd you go? Oh, I went to the rock to hide my face. Rock cried out, woo! Hiding place, no hiding place down here. What'd the rock say? Rock said, I'm burning too. Come on. Rock said, I'm burning too. Oh, the rock cried out, I'm burning too. I want to go to heaven the same as you. No hiding place down here. Here we go. Down here, down here. Ain't no hiding place down here. Oh, I went to the rock to hide my face. Rock cried out, no hiding place, no hiding place down here. What about the sinner man? The sinner man, he gambled and he fell. The sinner man, he gambled and he fell. Oh, the sinner man gambled and he fell, and he wanted to go to heaven, but he had to go to St. Martin de Porres Church in North Philadelphia. No hiding place down here, down here, down here. No hiding place down here. Oh, I went to the rock, hide my face. Rock cried out, no hiding place, no hiding place down here. Long as you're here, you're not going to get away from it. You're not going to get. The rock knows. You know where I got that song? I got that song from Maya Angelou. She based her poem on the Pulse of Mourning. She did that poem for Bill Clinton's first inauguration. And she used that to say, you know, we gotta face our history. We gotta face our time in the world, and everybody gets a mourning after mourning after mourning to face it. God's really patient with us, amen? And not only is God patient, but God strengthens us and feeds us along the way, all along the way. And so this business about the bread, what about the bread? Well, you know, I got to do a little study in Chicago one time about the bread. I went to this church called St. Benedict the African, almost as good as St. Martin de Porres. And I got to ask those people, I said, what does the gift of blackness mean in the Eucharistic prayer? I wanted to know, because the Pope and all the black bishops, and they had all said, for the African-American community or for the young countries in Africa, give the gift of blackness to the whole church. I was like, what is that exactly? What is that? So I went, go right to the people and say, well, what does that mean? What does it mean? And one of the things that I learned is, out of our own suffering, You find a place to connect. So, because one lady said it really beautifully. Her name was Anne, and Anne said, you know, a lot of times for the black soul, it's hurt. So you know where it is. It's real close by. You know what's real, and you know what's not. You know what's a sham. And a lot of times if we're, you know, if we've really covered over our soul and we live at a distance from it, we're not exactly sure which direction the real is. Anyway, those folks said, it's about being real. It's about being real. And Jesus is for real. So, you know, I had the opportunity, sadly yesterday, to go to a funeral for a young man who was 33 years old, just dropped dead on the street. His dad died the same way. So, you know, his mom and his sisters were really brokenhearted people. And they were raised in the Catholic faith, but they didn't want the mass. They had friends from all over. They said, well, no. They just wanted to do a service, and I was a little brokenhearted about it not being a mass. But anyway, they filled the church, and I was, you know, cooking up this homily for you anyway all along the way. And I was like, well, what about the bread? You know, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. And the church was packed. You know, all the pews were filled, and people were standing around the walls. And first thing that happened is they just used the drums. And they walked the casket very slowly down the aisle with his mom behind and his sisters and his first cousins, the male first cousins. They all made a procession in with the body. And when the mom and the sisters, you know, finished that little walk up the aisle with his body, they kissed the casket and got in their pew. It touched my heart to see them. All their love for him was on their lips when they did that. It's like, that's like the bread. You know, what I saw in them fed something in me. And then they got to, he went to Holy Cross School up in Mount Airy, and he had a classmate there. His name's Justin Hopkins. You could look him up on YouTube. He's a young African-American man that has an unbelievable giant baritone voice. You saw his little body, you go, where's he keep that voice? Whoa. Anyway, he was the next thing on the program, and he sang, his eyes on the sparrow. And I was like, that's the bread. It was the bread. You know, like, it was like right out of his body was something that fed all the people in the room. It was just unbelievable. It was that good. And there were other moments like that through the whole celebration where people gave something of themselves that carried something of the grief and the loss, honored the dead, nurtured the living. That's the bread. That's the bread. And that's what God does in the person of Jesus. God comes down to get close to us in our joys and sorrows and give us something to keep us going. That's what, you know, that they used to use this word for Holy Communion for the dying, viaticum. It just meant for the way. It was the food for the way. And that's what's happening with Elijah today. It's, I got something for you to do. And I don't want you collapsing on the way. It's like your mother sending you to work, you know. As I'm going to put something in your belly so you can do this. You know, you got a job to do. And for us, in the person of Jesus, God puts his very self in our belly. You know, that's pretty basic. The only other person I can think of who does that is your mother. You know, really to give you something that personal, that nurturing, you know. I mean, maybe if you have a loved one in your life who really cooks good, like your wife or your mother, your grandmother, or maybe your husband or your grandmother, there's all kind of good cooks, you know. And they give you something when they do that. They give you something. I remember one of the guys that I live with, Father Greg Kazubo, he is a wonderful cook. And I've lived with him over the years, and what I've come to understand is his cooking is his love. And if you watch him when he cooks, you can see it coming out of his hands. It's going into the food. And that's a really important aspect of this, that, you know, we come here and we do the mass in the way that we do, and it's really beautiful. It can be really powerful. But if you don't make that connection to life, to what's real, you know, that you got something to give. And when we're doing the part with the bread and the wine, we get it all ready, You know, everybody works to get it up the aisle, and get it on the altar, and get it ready. And then we say, pray that your sacrifice is acceptable. And what that really means is all the stuff that your life's made out of, you know? You think about the people who went before you, the people who loved you, the people who got you to survive. That's their sacrifice. You know, what people give for you to go forward, the people who made it possible, you know, that old song we say, ain't no hiding place. Those people were given something to keep people moving forward in life. And that's exactly what Jesus does. And there's a lot of resistance to that in the gospel. It's, you know, it's too close up. Hey, we know who she is. We know who he is. That's no big deal. It's like each person is a divine revelation. Each person is a word that God speaks. I'm a word that God speaks to you. You're a word of God that speaks to me. That's really what it is. And when we hear it, when we really hear it and connect, it's like that young man made us hear his eyes on the sparrow. You couldn't help but hear it, you know? It came all the way from the bottom of his feet, all the way up through his body and out into the room. He gave us everything he had in that song for our consolation, for our healing, for the honoring of the dead, for the going forward of the living. That's who Jesus is. And you might not have the best baritone voice, but you got a heart and soul that has to get into the world. It's nourishment for other people. It is the blessed sacrament, absolutely. So we love what we do in church. We love the affection that we have for the gift of Jesus exactly in the way that it's enshrined in the Eucharist today. But we're the ones that have to make the connection to that deeply and make it real in the world. Amen?